The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
And unbeknownst to Wayne, we sang a song about Mighty God, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Eternal Father, and that's my text for today. As we continue in Isaiah, remember that this is a book that has a lot of different concepts in it. The concept of judgment, the concept of God's grace, and probably no other place in the Old Testament will you find a more vivid picture of the very person of Jesus Christ, Messiah, than you will in the book of Isaiah. And I've entitled today's sermon, Why Fathers Are More Than Just Dads. Why Fathers Are More Than Just Dads. So let's look at our text, which we sang a little earlier, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And I'm using the New Living Translation for us. I think it says it in a way that you'll really appreciate. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. These will be his royal titles: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus our Lord, we come to you. Father, we thank you for your divine presence in this room. And Father, we open ourselves up to hear what you would say to us as individuals. Father, we realize that your word is the very strength that we need day to day to live. And Father, I pray that as your word is expounded upon this morning, that you'd give me the thoughts and the ideas and the ability to communicate in such a way that it'll encourage each one of our very souls. We submit ourselves to you. We believe in you, Father. You are the author and the finisher of our faith, and we will learn nothing and understand nothing. We will be blind and deaf and dumb unless we have your Spirit revealing truth to us. So, Father, reveal your truth, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Once again, Isaiah gives us great insight into Messiah. And he says the attributes of Messiah would that this child that would be born would be a wonderful counselor. How many of you need some counseling? Man, I'll tell you, I need counseling. The world is too confusing for me. I don't get it. I hear things and see things that just absolutely vex my soul. And I say, Lord, you know, what happens next? What's going on in this crazy world that we live in? And so it said that this is somebody that we can go to in trouble. He is that that wonderful counselor. He said he's a mighty God. Someone with not just a weak God that has no strength, carved out of the rocks and stones and wood and things that men create, but he is a mighty God who is able to watch over us, to protect us, to be with us in all of our times of need. He's a Prince of Peace. We need peace. I don't know about you, but I need some peace. You know, if somebody, you want to get rich, open up a peace factory. You start selling peace, boy, you're going to be one of the wealthiest people on the planet. Everybody wants peace. It doesn't matter where you live, what part of the world you're in. Everybody needs some peace. It's a very peace of mind. I remember my father, who I love dearly, told me one day, he didn't come to the Lord till he's well into his 60s. And one day he told me, he said, you know, if he didn't get anything else from God but peace of mind, it'd be worth it. just to have a peace of mind in the crazy world that we live in. There's a lot of things I could say about that, but I really want to focus on the idea this morning of this eternal Father being Father's Day. He's all those things, but He's the eternal Father. Now, I need to tell you, as Isaiah spoke, he was like shining a beam of light down through the corridor of time. He was revealing things in the future that were to come. And I don't know, and when I see Isaiah one day, I'll ask him how much of this he really understood personally, but he gives us some insight. And this insight of God being a father is new to the Old Testament. In fact, I went researching and did some study. I said, this couldn't possibly be a new concept in the Old Testament because it's so prevalent in the New Testament. But everywhere I looked, there was ideas of Father Abraham, Father Isaac, Father Jacob. They talked about the God of our fathers, but there's no mention and no concept that's given to us of God as a personal father to individuals. They had an idea of a nationalistic father, but the concept of God being my father was virtually unheard of in the Old Testament. So Isaiah was given a new thought, a new concept here. And today what I want us to do is to look at Isaiah's concept of this idea of father. And first of all, I want to bring to our attention that fathers are protectors of family. He's going to get it. There he is. All right. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 4 and 5 says, "For God will break the chains that bind His people and the whip that scourges them, just as He did when He destroyed the army of Midian with Gideon's little band. And that day of peace, battle gear will no longer be issued. Never again will uniforms be bloodstained by war. All such equipment will be burned." Wow, what a thought, huh? What a thought. It's God protecting Israel, but this eternal Father does more than that. He protects us. God cares for us. You know, His children are looked after by their earthly father. In a much greater way, our Heavenly Father looks after us. Someone who cares about us, who knows what's going on in our lives. And I love what this scripture says. It said, "For God will break the chains that bind His people." We, in this comedy of life, it's a tragic comedy of life that we live in, we find ourselves with fetters and chains on ourselves. Some that the enemy puts, some that we put ourselves, some that other people put on us, and we can't seem to get free. You know, everywhere we go, we drag our chains behind, and we can only get so far and no further in life. I used to have a dog. It was a full-blooded Chow. Now, if you know anything about full-blooded Chow dogs, they don't know that they're not lions. I mean, they've got a mane on them like a lion, and they are meaner than I don't know what. I mean, they love to bite people. And we lived down in New Orleans at the time, and I was a boy with this dog, and the dog's name was Pudgy. Cute little doggy. I still remember Pudgy. And Pudgy was my favorite dog, but Pudgy was not to be trusted. Well, we had a chain on Pudgy to make sure she didn't bite anybody. Well, Pudgy could, with the chain on her, if you will imagine like this pulpit is the back door, back porch of our house, well, Pudgy was chained over by that door, you know, that leads into the office area. So she could come, but she couldn't get to the porch. Well, my dear uncle, my mother's brother, came one day unannounced. And this was, you know, this is back in the Stone Age, friends, before they had electric dryers. My mother used to have to dry her clothes on the lines. And those lines ran across Pudgy's path. So when my uncle came unannounced, and he was coming towards Pudgy, Pudgy decided this was something good to eat. So she took off running as hard as she could. Well, the chain grabbed her, and flipped her up in the air, and the little hook that held her chain got caught on the clothesline. And Pudgy was hanging on the clothesline about 3 feet up in the air, just making a squeal that she wanted to bite him and get free all at the same time. She just couldn't do both, all right? And I happened to be nearby, and I saw it, and I ran out, and I rescued Pudgy and got her loose and got her, you know, so she didn't kill herself. But she still was determined to get to my uncle to bite him. But she couldn't do it, all right, because the chain held her. And I tell you that story because when you have these chains of life, you can only get so far. And you'll get stopped no matter how determined you are. You know, we get so determined about things in our life to break free. We have habits that we want to break. And we stress ourselves up trying to stress ourselves out, trying to break these chains, and we're unable to do it. And what our Heavenly Father is able to do is to break those chains, to get us free from those things that stop us from going forward. Now, we're not out to bite anybody, but we're out to move into a greener pasture. We're out to go further with God, to go higher with God, to learn more things about God. And our Father does that for us. Now, the mission of a warrior is to establish peace. All right? Warriors go to war to either defend themselves or to capture new land and to establish peace. Rome, the great empire, had the Pax Roma. You remember that, if I'm saying that right, in Latin, which means the great peace. Rome didn't want anybody shaking up their peace. If they wanted to shake it up, they'd shake it up themselves, but they didn't want anybody else doing that. And so fathers established peace. Now, our earthly fathers are warriors for our families. Now, we don't think of ourselves that way, but we really are, dads. We are warriors for our families, and we need to start acting like warriors for our family instead of some pansy. You know, we get kind of a pansy attitude about things. There was a story in a book that I really enjoy called by John Eldridge called Wild at Heart. I'd highly recommend it for every dad ought to read this book. It's just a great book. And he talks about he was going up into Alaska with another guy, and they were going, they had cameras, and they were going to take pictures of bears. And he said, we had our little hiking boots on, and we had our straps of 35 millimeter film. This was before the advent of the digital camera. And we had our telephoto lenses, and we were walking into an area where the bears were known to habitate. He said, and two guys came walking towards them. He said, those guys had big guns. They had bandoleros with great big bullets hanging off of them. So they were just mean and scruffy looking. He said, they passed by us, and he thought, man, what a pansy I am. You know, hey, I'm going in with a camera, and these guys were going in to make war against the bear. And I think that's the way we are sometimes as men. We just kind of have a pansy attitude instead of having a warrior attitude. Now, one of the ways we can war for our families is through prayer. I believe some of the most effective prayers that God will answer are the prayers of a father for his family. I believe God hears those prayers because men can come to the throne with an authority that's given them in their family. Men have authority in their family. It's a God-given authority. It's the head and the leader of their home. And they can go to God and tell God what's going on in their family and ask God to intervene. So there's a weapon of war that men can use for their family. You see that? Let me ask you a question, guys. When's the last time you cleaned your prayer gun? When's the last time you took that baby out and oiled it up and ran a few rounds through it? You know, a couple of years ago, we went down to the shooting range. We took some pistols, and we went down there, and we found out who was a good shot and who wasn't. We found out Percy, you don't have to worry about Percy if he gets a gun. He's not going to hit anything. We found out I wasn't too good either, all right? We found out a lot of us weren't too. Just the only guy who could really shoot and hit the target was Dennis. But, you know, Dennis is supposed to be able to hit something. He's a deputy sheriff, you know. We expect him to hit something. But, you know, we ought to be able to do that with our prayer gun. We ought to be able to pray and hit the target, you know, where we practice and we learn how to do that. We ought to be at war through setting boundaries for our family. We ought to draw the line in the sand of our life and say, this far and no more, that our enemy can't come into our boundaries and that our family can't cross out of the boundaries that we set. They set some rules and regulations about the family, of things that can happen and things that can't happen. Now, I know for some of you saying, oh, man, I don't know about that. I never could set any boundaries that my wife wouldn't cross over. Well, you ought to come to the marriage seminar and learn how to do that, you know, because God has ordained for you to be the priest and the prophet and the head of your family. You can set some boundaries, and setting boundaries for your children of things that they can do and can't do. You know, you ought to be able to say to the kids the first word that they learned in life. You ought to be able to say to your kids, no. No, and I mean no, 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 and it's not going to happen. But, you know, that's our responsibility to be able to do that. To take care of our families and to set those boundaries that the enemy can't come in. You ought to be able to intercede for your family in such a way that you can say to the devil, you can't have my children. And I'll tell you what, if you've got kids and you don't know that prayer, you better learn or the devil will get your kids. Amen. Learn how to pray for your children and intercede. You can't do it in the natural. You're going to have to do it in the supernatural. And I'll tell you, the way the world's going today, the things that we're seeing revealed day by day in our world, we need some men who will set some boundaries about what's to take place. You know, guys look at the world different than women do. No matter what they say, men and women are different. We are. We not only look different, but we're built differently by God on the inside. We see things from a different perspective. And many times women don't get it. Kids never get it. No, not never. About once in a while. On a rare occasion they get it. But the truth is that men get it when it comes to setting boundaries. They need to set boundaries that the enemy can't come in and get our family. I think one of the most fierce things in the world, you know, they talk about a mama cub, a mama bear and her cubs. I think one of the most fierce things in the world is a father who sets a boundary and says to the devil and the enemy and anybody who tries to come in, you cannot have my family. And you set the boundaries and you be fierce. I think that's something we should do. We can set boundaries and be warriors by giving our lives for our family. We need to learn how to do that. You know, I think if I were to ask any man, would you give your life for your family? And you'd say, yeah, I'd stand up and take the bullet. You know, I'd fight for my family. But what about giving your life? Which is not dying, but your life. Living for your family. And doing the things that your family needs. That's a little bit different cut. Where you take your time and your energy and your ability and you use it for your kids. Let me ask you a question. Where are the dangerous fathers of today? How dangerous are you? Are you dangerous in the spirit realm? Are you dangerous when it comes to people fooling with your family? Are you dangerous when somebody tries to do something against your family? You need to be dangerous. You may have seen this on the news. I hate to talk about this, but it's just a very good illustration of the things that we need to do. Did you see the news report of the girls, and I don't know what city it was in. I don't remember the city. I tried to block it out of my mind, who wore the provocative prom dresses to go to the prom? They showed some of it on TV, and I'll tell you, it's the closest thing to porn I've seen on TV in a long time. These girls had on the most provocative dresses. And one girl's mother wants to sue the school because they wouldn't let her daughter go to the prom. She'd have a hard time getting into some of the strip joints in Bourbon Street in that outfit she had on. That's how bad it was. Young girls, 20 young girls at some high school, decided to take nude pictures of themselves and put it on the internet. Now, let me ask you a question. Where are the daddies? Where are the fathers who stopped that from happening? And you'll say, oh, well, Pastor, that's not in Slidell, Louisiana. That's some other place. Well, I've got bad news for you. I know of a case right here in Slidell where that took place. Right here in our town. A young girl took pictures of herself and mailed it to a boyfriend who proceeded to put it on the internet. Let me tell you what, dads and granddads, you need to set some boundaries for your kids, male or female, boys or girls, and make sure that those boundaries don't get crossed. You know, we talk about grace around here. You know, there are no fences. You know, we understand a thing of grace. But I'm telling you what, kids need some boundaries, and they need some daddies who'll set the boundaries and say no. And whether it's a boy or a girl, and they wear clothes that are provocative, you ought to be the policeman of the clothes in your family. Be it your wife, or be it your kids. And you decide what they wear. When boys try to wear pants that are hanging around their ankles with their butt showing, you ought to say, no, you're not walking out of my house looking that way. You say, well, I can't do that. Oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. As long as you're putting the food on the table, as long as you're providing the roof over their head, you can do it. And if they're so smart they want to leave,
let them go.
Take your pick. Go do it. They'll be back. Find out what the world's really like. I'm going to tell you the way things go. My mother and I went shopping one day for some new clothes for me. Now, the clothes are irrelevant to today's clothes. But at that time, they used to call them a zoot suit. I mean, the pants were the same color as Oliver's shirt. Now, today you wouldn't think much of that. But back when I was young, that was a big deal to wear a bright color like that, especially when it had big striping down the side. And it was so narrow at the ankle that, you know, they bloomed up here. It looked like Bozo the Clown, you know. And I got me a pink shirt with a big high collar. And I got me a yellow knit tie. And I got me a corduroy brown rust-colored coat. And I'll tell you what, you would have been proud of me, Freddie. You would have been proud of me. I mean, I looked good, man. Well, when I got all that stuff home and I was getting ready to go out that night, now I wasn't a boy. I was 18 years old, 17 or 18 years old, somewhere around there. And Mama had taken me shopping. I mean, it must be okay. You want to know how far I got out of the house with that outfit on? Not at all. My daddy said, you take those clothes off right now. I said, well, Dad, I just bought these clothes. Mama bought them for me. I'm going out on a date. Not in that outfit, you're not. You know what? I took them off. Because I knew that if I didn't take them off, he'd take them off. And he was big enough to do it, too. I was taller than him, but I wasn't stronger than him. But the point is, setting those rules, and we need some men who will do that for us, for our kids, that they will be protected and watched over. God our Father does that for us. And we're made in the image of God, and we should be doing that for our kids. They need it. The kids are going wild today, not because the kids. Listen, you know, you've heard me say this all the time, but it's not the kids' fault. They're going to push all the buttons they can and try all the things that they can to reach out as far as they can. But as parents and as grandparents, we set a stage and we say, no, you can't do those kinds of things. And I'll tell you what, I haven't met a man or a woman yet. I have not met them. Now, they may exist, but I haven't met them yet who didn't live in a family where mom and dad did their best to set some rules and regulations for them that when they became adults that they ever said that they regretted what their parents did for them. To the contrary, they always were thankful for what their parents did for them. You know, we talk all the time, what we need is some old-time religion, right? No, we don't need some old-time religion. What we need is some old-time parenting. Where parents take their roles. Where boys are taught by their daddies that they can't go out and just mess with every girl that they find. And that they have purity in their lives, and they set standards. And girls do the same. But they're not going to get it from their friends at school, friend. Beloved. They're going to get it from godly parents who tell them what to do. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Second thing I want to talk about is fathers are providers for their family. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. Again, it's the New Living Translation. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light, a light that will shine on all who live in the land where death cast its shadow. Israel will again be great, and its people will rejoice as people rejoice at harvest time. They will shout with joy like warriors dividing the plunder. Fathers make sure that their family have everything that they need for life. Father God gives us a quality of life. Would you agree with that? I mean, we have a good quality of life because Father God provides that for us. And we go to God about the things that we need. Our fathers need to provide leadership and set standards for us in our families. Fathers need to create a world that's the right kind of world for our families. You know, we talk about God the Father. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, if you want to be like God, maybe you ought to create your own little heaven and earth. You know, what does your family look like? You know, what is the image that it gives off? Have you set those kind of standards? Have you done those kinds of things? Have you been that kind of provider? Now, don't get mad at me. I think one of the things we've done wrong in our society is we've some kind of way believe that ownership of physical things would create a happy family. Nicer houses, nicer cars, nicer clothes, and that all those things would make people happy. You know it doesn't. You know what it does? It whets the appetite to have more things. You know the old expression, keeping up with the Joneses? Let me tell you what, you can't keep up with the Joneses. They got more than you got. Just get used to it. Well, that's not fair. Duh, life's not fair. Have you figured that out yet? Have you found that out in life, that it's not fair by your standards? There's always somebody better off than you. Unless you're Bill Gates. He's got $62 billion, so he's probably okay financially. He's probably not going broke tomorrow. But everybody else is in trouble. And those things won't satisfy you, and they won't satisfy your kids, and they won't satisfy your grandkids. You know, we spend money like it's going out of style to try to gain some kind of satisfaction and joy in life, and it won't work. It won't give us what we need. And families, children, need parents who give their life and their time for their kids and stop chasing after the almighty dollar. Your family would be better off in a smaller house, in an older car, filled with your time and your love, than they would be in the big house with you out working, both of husband and wife working, spending all their time and energy trying to bring in dollars to pay the bills. There was a guy that I knew many years ago, very fine Christian man. He was a deacon in the church. He had a beautiful wife and two lovely children, and he decided that they needed to have a bigger house for their status in life. The only one wrinkle in that, he couldn't have the house unless his wife went to work. So he talked her into it. And she went back to work. And she used to come and see Pat and I just crying and weeping about how she wanted to be home with her kids, but she couldn't be with the kids anymore because she had to work to pay for that house that they bought. That house was a curse on them, and she knew it. The sad part of that story is so much pressure on that family broke up for a stupid house. And those children had to live without mom and daddy being there for a stupid house. Kids didn't want a house. They wanted a home. They wanted mom and dad to be there for them. Some of you are saying, Now, Pastor, are you saying that as parents, that wives shouldn't be working? I think that's what I'm saying. If you need to, if your husband's sick or you need the substance, you can do that. You might agree to that. But I'm telling you, the best world is not that world. The best world is where mom can help and be there for her family to raise the kids. When the kids are grown, it's a different story. But I'm talking about when kids are at home. Being there. Children need our time. When they're in school, you might, moms want to work a little bit to find a little part-time job. That's fine. But I'm telling you what, it just puts stress and pressure on families that they don't need. Men are to provide for their families. I know it's an old-fashioned concept, but you know what? It works. Pat and I made a decision when we got married. I said, baby, we're going to live on what I can make and not a dime more. And everything. She can make as much money as I was. She's a computer programmer, same field I was in. Said, any money that you make, because before we had children, we can save it and we can invest and we can do other things on it, but we won't buy one bean, one can of coffee, or one Coca-Cola with your money. And from that day to this day, we never have. We lived on what I was able to produce for our family. And when I was in seminary and we were really struggling financially, and I was working a part-time job, kind of part-time. I was working 32 hours a week, if you want to call that part-time. And I was going to the seminary 40 hours a week, and we were struggling. We didn't have any money. A big deal. Now, you think I'm, he's just saying that just to impress us. I'm telling you what, a big deal was on a weekend if we took Tiffany out to my daughter, to a Burger King to get a burger because we didn't have any money. But you know what? Pat's going to go on to work. But that wasn't the plan. The plan was I was providing for the family. We agreed to sacrifice together for me to go to school. And that's what we did. That was what I did. You don't have to do exactly what I've done, but I just want to tell you that I understand what I'm talking about. And it worked out. Tiffany didn't lose her mother because I went to seminary. Her mother was still there with the time she needed. And she, you know, I never heard her say one time, well, Daddy, I need some designer jeans. I never heard her say one time, let's go down to Young's and get a steak. You know, I never heard her complain from her. The only time I ever heard her complain is she wanted to go to Disney World. She wanted to go to Disney World, and we couldn't afford to go. And so being a good daddy, I sat down with her, and it really broke my heart because I wanted to provide that for her. And I said, baby, why don't we pray? Let's just pray and see if God can find a way for us to go. I got to tell you, I had little faith. But I was doing my best to be a good daddy. And we sat down and we prayed together, me and little Tiffany. I'm telling you, the next day I went into the office at the part-time job I had, and they were having a big conference down in Orlando, and the company said, we need you to go down to Orlando for this conference, and you can take your family with you. It's all paid for. We went to Disney World, and she and her mother went on all the rides. I had to work, but they were down there having fun. And let me tell you what, that kid learned the power of prayer. She knew what prayer would do for her. But that's the only time I ever heard her complain about anything. But she learned how to pray. From then on, she just prayed for things. When she got older, she got a little bit more worldly, but that's another story. Providing. Make sure your children have stability, a stable home. You know, one of the things the Bible talks about, it says, God hates divorce. And people think, well, God's so mean because he hates divorce. No, God hates divorce because he knows what it does to us. Amen. He knows what it's like when the traumas of divorce and children live in a broken home. Daddies need to provide stability. They need to make sure their wives experience love and experience security. Wives need to be secure. And daddies, husbands, it's our responsibility to do that. Not somebody else's. It's our responsibility. Now some of you saying, and I know some of you in the situation you're in, said, well, Pastor, I just can't do it right now. You know, I done messed up real bad. Well, you know what? You can't do a thing about yesterday, but you can start making plans for tomorrow to make sure that things are different. Start making up your mind, you know, I'm going to listen to that one-on preacher. And I'm going to start thinking about what he's saying. And I'm going to start making plans for my family. Those of you who are not married, when you go into marriage, that you understand what you're getting into. And you make the right kind of decisions so that your wife is loved and feels stable. One of the things that hurts women more than anything else is a sense of insecurity, where they don't know what's going to happen the next day. And especially when men live in a frivolous way, not taking care of them. They need that, and it's our job as fathers to provide that for them. One of the things that I believe we've lost is we've lost respect for men. Being a man is getting to be something people don't want to hear about anymore. It's not in vogue to be a man's man. You know, somebody made a comment one day about our church had a lot of men in it. You know why our church has a lot of men in it? Because I like men. I like to be around men. I think men are great. I like to be around guys. Sometimes they're really goofy, you know. They say goofy things, but I like being around men. I understand men. I know what's going on in their lives. Forgive me, ladies, I don't understand a thing about women. I'm working on it. I'm trying my best, but I don't get it, you know. I don't know what goes on between them ears. I mean, it just, blows me away. So you say things and do things and act with emotions, you know. I was teaching a Sunday school class many years ago at a church I was going to, and I decided to try an experiment. And I went in and I set up a little situation, a verbal situation, and I asked the guys, I said, how you guys feel about that? They all just squirmed in their chairs, and they looked away, and they looked down, because they didn't want to meet me eyeball to eyeball, because they knew they'd have to answer it, and they couldn't come up with an answer. So I rephrased the question a different way, and I said, what would you guys do about that? He goes, this is what I'd do about that. Everybody had an opinion about what to do, but don't ask them how they feel. You know, men aren't at that level. Now, if I'd have been in it with the women, I'd have said, well, how you ladies feel about that? Oh, they'd have told me everything I needed to know. You know? And if I said, what would you do about it? I'd say, well, I'd get my husband to do that. We've lost respect for God, and we've lost respect for men in our society. We've relegated men to something I don't even understand, and we've done the same thing to God. Cameron, I'm going to skip the next two slides, all right? I want you to skip past that because I don't want to talk about that. I'm going to save that for another day. Just go past that one. There we go. That's where I want to be. Just stay right there. But just let me say just another thought. There's nothing wrong with being what God's created you to be. There's nothing wrong with women being women and men being men. The problem comes in when we abandon those roles. That's what causes problems. And the enemy knows that fact. And he does everything he can to destroy the family unit. I was talking with Dennis yesterday. Paul is talking about family in the book of Ephesians. He said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And he gave himself for her. And he goes on with the litany of things that men should do. And he says to women, he said, women, submit yourself unto your husband as unto the Lord. And he goes into that thing in great depth. And at the end of the chapter, he says something really startling. He said, I'll show you a mystery. I'm going to reveal something to you that you don't know. He said, but he just said all this thing about husbands and wives. And he says, show you a mystery. I'm speaking about Christ in the church. You see, in a husband and wife relationship, in intimacy of that relationship, when we're fulfilling our roles, we are, in a real sense, reflecting the relationship between Christ and the church. It's a spiritual relationship. And when the enemy sees you as a husband and you as a wife, moms and dads trying to fulfill your roles, what he sees is the image of the church and the image of Christ. And he will do all within his power to disrupt that unity. You see, the enemy is not only against New Beginnings Church, he's against you and your family. And wants to do all he can to destroy that and disrupt that. And that's why we need to uncover the work of the enemy and do something about it. And to start setting the right standards in our family according to God's plan. Now, what I'm about to say, I'm not picking on you, okay? If you can think I'm picking on you, if you think I'm stepping on your toes, I want you to know I'm aiming at your heart. I'm not aiming at your toes. We decided as a church, you know, to do this marriage seminar. Now, some of you aren't here for whatever the reason. But I'm telling you what, it is one of the best marriage things that I have run into. And it's changed Pat and I. Let me just talk about us. I learned things that I didn't know. And believe me, I've got stacks of books on marriages. I've read them. I've taught them. I've written articles about it. I've done everything. I know what goes on in a marriage relationship. And I'm sitting there listening to Bruce Wilkerson on a videotape saying things that I had never thought about before. I didn't know, for instance. See, one of the things that Pat and I had this dialogue about is about what the house ought to look like. You know by now, I'm not into frilly. I'm not a frilly person. I don't like frilly flowers. I don't like frilly curtains. You know, I'm not into frills. You're looking for a frilly guy, you're looking in the wrong direction. Pat, on the other hand, likes all these frills. And it's a constant battle. Do we have to have one more flower in the blooming house? You know, do we have to have one more thing hanging on the windows? We paid $1 billion to have those beautiful windows. Why are we covering them up? I don't get it. And I felt that I had an input into that. I live there too. It's my house as much as it is ours. Yeah, it is. But you know what I discovered at this marriage seminar? And it's in the scriptures. And I didn't plan on saying this, so I don't have the chapter and verse for it, but I'll get it for you. It says that the household is the responsibility of the wife. It's her area. It's her domain. And I heard that and I said, no, foil the game. That means I got to put up with the blooming flowers and curtains. She went garage sailing and brought something. I'm not into garage sales either, you know. I just craft shows, garage sales. It ain't my thing, all right? But we went up to Poplarville yesterday. There was a little garage sale. She said, can we stop at the garage sale? And inside I went, no, I'm driving right by it like I've driven past it a million times. But inside I heard, it's her domain. I said, all right. So we pulled it, and she bought some stuff. And the natural inclination that I always have done in the past, when she brings this stuff and puts it in my car, and I know it's going to be in my house, my natural inclination is, what do we need that junk for? I've said it a million times. But since I learned what the scripture said about it being her domain, I just shut my mouth. And I didn't say a thing. And she had a happy time getting her stuff, and she's going to be putting it out, and I'll be dodging it saying, praise God, it's her domain. Praise God, it's her domain. Praise God. But I learned that. I didn't know that. It's a new revelation to me. I learned something about women that I didn't know. I don't know much, but I learned this. We talk about women being in submission to their husbands. You know what? Nobody likes to hear the yes word, you know? Oh, no, don't come up with that again, Pastor. But they explained it in a way I'd never heard it before. It says back in Genesis that God created a helper suitable for Adam. And they explained that one of the primary characteristics of God the Father is that He is a helper. Fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help you. Over and over again, you see that in the scripture. God said, I will help you, I will help you, I will help you. And then when Jesus said that the helper would come, the Holy Spirit would come, and they put this together, and it just was a light that dawned on my head. And for the women who were here, that being a helper isn't a downer, it's an upper, because you're displaying one of the greatest characteristics of God Himself. I'd never thought about that. Gentlemen, ladies, I'm telling you, we won't be all that God wants us to be unless we study to show ourselves approved unto God. Workmen rightly dividing the word of truth. This seminar is scripturally based. I appreciate Rachel being there, a young girl, and I have such great admiration for her as she shows up in some of these things. And she's learning skills, and she's hearing parents say things that help her understand what goes on in a family, that one day when it's right for her and God sends her knight in shining armor, and I'm checking the dude out, all right? He got to get through her daddy and me, all right? And to make sure that she'll have the skills she needs to be a godly wife. And she'll be looking for those right characteristics in a godly husband. If you got teenagers, parents, I'd bring them to this seminar to learn some things. Now, I'm not fussing at you. I'm just saying, those of you who have been there, am I telling the truth? Is this good or what? It really is excellent. If it wasn't, I tell you, if it was a bummer, I wouldn't be going. Because I don't have to go. I'm the pastor of church. I don't have to do nothing. You know, I'm the big cheese around here, you know. Well, maybe a little rat, but I think things like that. But I don't need to go. And I have every reason in the world not to go. So, well, I don't need to go because I'm praying and studying. Looking at TV or something, but I don't need to be there. And in fact, I didn't plan on going a whole lot. Because if my schedule's too busy, I only have time to take up a Monday night for a couple hours. But well, I'm glad I went. And it's helped my marriage. It's made me a better husband. You know? Made my wife a better wife. We're getting along. We're having fun, huh? We started doing some new things we hadn't done before. Started doing some little mini vacations. We took off. We uncharacteristic for us. We never break our little ritual of life we're in. And we had gone someplace, and I said, "Baby, I don't feel like going home." She said, "Well, neither do I." I said, "Let's go see." Now, you won't think this is big, but for my family, it's big. I said, "Let's go see the new bridge out at the Wrigley's." We've never seen it. And we drove out there and we had more fun driving around there just going looking. I didn't know they were building all those new camps 100 feet up in the air. I mean, all that's going on out there. But we took time to enjoy each other. See, it did us good. It's doing us good right now, even to tell you about it. We need to be providers for our family, not just the physical things, but the spiritual and emotional things that our families need. Amen. I talked more about that than intended, but I hope it's helped you. The third thing about fathers, fathers are passionate about their families. Isaiah 9:7. His ever-expanding peaceful government, I love this, his ever-expanding peaceful government will never end. He will rule forever with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David. The passionate commitment of the Lord Almighty will guarantee this. Do you like that last sentence or what? That's why I used the New Living Translation for this. The passionate commitment of the Lord Almighty will guarantee this. Father God deals with his family in a very passionate way. God is passionate about us. He cares about us. His every thought is about us. You know, people think sometimes, well, God's thinking about the universe. God doesn't give a flip about the universe. He's got that going. It's doing all right. But he cares about you. And he cares about me. And he is passionate about us. God demonstrates his passion for us in that he loved us so much that he gave his son. That's passion. That's giving. He loved us so much that he gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit to help us to be able to live. God the Father gave his Son, gave his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And we need fathers who are just as passionate about their families. It's an old-fashioned idea, but I tell you, I think it's an old-fashioned thing. We need to dig out of the archives of the antiques and put it back on the shelf where it belongs and to be passionate about our families. We need to make our families a priority. The priority, the number one thing in our lives. Our wives and our children need to be number one with us. We need to set that tempo and let them know that they, you know, nothing's getting through to them as long as you're still alive. They'll have to go over your dead body to get to you, to get to your family. to be passionate about that, to make them that priority, that other things get put aside for your family. You know, I haven't told you this in a long time. Some of you knew, so you probably haven't heard me say it. But when I started this church, I decided that we'd have church on Sunday morning. We wouldn't have it on Sunday evening. You know the criticism I got for that? One of those cardinal churches, huh? You know, they're getting rid of Sunday night. They'll get rid of Wednesday night. Then they'll be getting rid of the Bible. They'll be getting rid of everything. You know, that's the kind of church you build it. Well, they didn't know what I had in mind. See, we don't have church on Sunday night because I want your family to be a priority. I don't want you taking Sunday night and blowing it off and going in different directions. I want you to take Sunday and spend time with your family. You bring your church, you bring your family to church on Sunday morning, and then Sunday during the day you spend time with your family. I spent too many years on Sunday in churches where you were there on Sunday morning, you left church, you went and got something to eat, you got home, you were tired because you'd been busy at church doing all the things that we do at church. And then before you could take a good nap and lay before the Lord, it was time to get dressed and get back to church for a 5 o'clock meeting or a 6 o'clock meeting or have a service. And you go to the services and everybody who got there is doing it because they just felt they had to go out of a commitment of some kind. And they weren't, they're about as spiritual sometimes as the corporate was because they're just tired. And rob their family of quality time. So I decided we wouldn't have services on Sunday nights if we spend time with our family. That's the reason we don't have it. Not that I can't preach another sermon. I got sermons to preach, friends. I got people around there would be willing to preach if I didn't want to. I can find people to preach in the church. But I want you to spend time with your families and make them a priority. Make plans for your family. I talked to you several weeks ago about security, financial security. Make plans for your family. Trust me, beloved, go get the tape, get it off the internet, listen to it. If you think that your family is going to live on Social Security, you're going to be eating peanuts and drinking water. If you can find the peanuts. You need to make plans, financial plans, now. The earlier you make plans, the better. Think about retirement. Spend time with your family recreating. Find time to recreate. Time to have fun. You don't want to just be all work and no play. You got to have some time to play. But you don't have to spend a lot of money to play. You can have a lot of fun without spending a lot of money. Amen?
Amen.
Telling you the truth. Learn to be a better husband, guys. You make a difference. You say, well, I don't know where to start. Well, start where you are. And start making a change. There was a great story that affected me, and I'm going to close with this story. There was a guy, Pat and I were new Christians, and we went to a marriage seminar. It didn't cost just $30 like this one to go to here, this one. We had to spend thousands of dollars to go all the way to Colorado Springs, Colorado. And one of the guys who was teaching a session, he was talking about how he and his wife prayed. And he said, she used to sit in the bed, kind of Indian style with her legs crossed. He said, I like to kneel on the side of the bed. And he said, the rules were, you know, I'd pray a little bit, and then she'd pray a little bit. And I'd pray a little bit, and she'd pray a little bit. And he said, one of the rules are you close your eyes and you bow your head. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. How many times have you been in church and you've been told that? Let's bow our heads in prayer. You know, we think we can't pray without our heads down. Well, he said he broke the rules. His wife was praying, and he lifted his head up, and he looked at her, sitting there in her jammies, cross-legged, praying. He said, and for the first time in his life, he realized that his wife was a real person. Wasn't just the mother of his children, wasn't just his wife, but she was a real person with real needs and real desires. And when he saw that, it changed the way that he thought about his wife. And when he said that, it pierced my soul. Because I had treated my wife like my wife. I had treated her like the mother of my kids. I treated her like somebody who had to do the stuff around the house. You know, what she wanted didn't matter nearly as much as what I wanted to do. My plans were more important than her plans. What I wanted to do was more important than what she thought about. And when I heard that guy say that, it pierced me so, that I began to look at Pat differently. She's a real person. She has real needs, real desires, real hopes, real dreams. She's my wife, but she's more than my wife. She is an individual created in the image of God, loved by God, whom I've been given the awesome privilege and responsibility of leading in this pathway of life, hand in hand, heart in heart, as we go through life. That's God's plan for our families. Guys, I want you to start looking at your wives differently. When you walk out of here and you go to the dinner table, go to lunch, go home, wherever you go, I want you to look at your wife differently than you ever did before. And I want you to look past the outside and see on the inside and think about her. What is she thinking about? What's on her mind? What's on her heart? And begin to treat her differently. I promise you this. When you do, two wonderful things will happen. Your marriage will be better. And you will be overjoyed at having followed God's plan for your family. Amen? Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's Father's Day. Well, fathers, I got a couple of surprises for you today. You know, we just can't seem to break out of our ruts that we get in. We're going to be out of our ruts. I've got a nice gift for the fathers, all right? Really different than what you would expect. And before I give it to you, I want you to know that it's your gift. It doesn't belong to your wives, and it doesn't belong to your children. However, if you want to give them one of what I'm about to give you, that would be acceptable. But the rest of it belongs to you. You can share, but, you know, children, wives, this is your husband's very special gift. I thought of this all by my lonesome. This is my idea, all right? You're going to love it. But before I give you your gift, guys, I want you to come down. All you daddies, come on down here. I want to pray for you. You want to know what lights my fire, what turns me on? Is what you're about to see. I love men. Man, I love to see guys, man, in church. I mean, it just does something for me on the inside that I don't even have a vocabulary to tell you about. But it's good to see men. I think ladies get too much of the limelight and guys don't get enough. And I appreciate you men who come here, who make this a part of your life. And those of you who are new to us, I appreciate you being here today. And why don't you y'all just spread out just a little bit more this way, okay? And I want to just take a minute just to kind of get in a little line as much as you can. Get over there, Rick. Let's make a line. There you go. All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come over here, Pastor Wayne. Come up here by me. I just want to kind of go down this line and just pray for these guys. I just want you to be by my side, all right? Father, I just thank you for Rick, Lord Jesus, as he's taken on this awesome responsibility, going from almost a single mom and dad to having a truckload of children. I just pray you give him wisdom, Lord, to lead those kids and that you've entrusted to him and to be that model for those boys that he's raising that they'll. When they grow up, they'll be able to say, I want to be just like Daddy. Father, I just pray that for Rick, Lord Jesus. Just watch over him. Father, I thank you for Eric, Lord. I don't think I've met this young man before, but I pray for you. You have children?
Two kids.
How old are they?
Two and one.
Two and one. Okay. You got some babies. You got boys or girls?
One girl, one boy.
Oh, man. You got Eric, you need some prayer. Father, I just pray for Eric. I just thank you for him being here today. And Lord, as he talks about his children, the 2 and the 1-year-old, Father, I ask you to give him wisdom to be able to take and raise those children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Let him be a godly man, Father. Let him display godly characteristics all the days of his life for his family. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give me a Percy. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for Percy. Lord, his children are grown, but he's a doing a new role now as a granddaddy. And he is a granddaddy, Lord. He's done such a great job with his own children, Lord. He's models for other people to look at it, what a daddy can do, setting the right standards and bringing the right input into his family. And I thank you for that. Thank you for him, who someone we can hold up as a model and say, just raise your kids like Percy did. You'll be all right. Be the kind of guy he is. He's a man's man. And I thank you for him. And I just pray that as he takes on this new role as a granddaddy, that those grandchildren will grow up and say, I want to be just like Grandpa. And that he'll be there for them. You're bringing the wisdom that only he could bring. Thank you for him, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for Freddie, Lord Jesus. I know his heart's turned towards you, Lord. I know he struggles, Lord, at this hard time for him and his family. Lord, but you have not looked away, but you have looked at his life and his wife and his children. And, Lord, I believe that you're going to turn these bad times into good times. Father, that you'll open the doors that he can be with his family once again. Lord Jesus, just help him. And Father, I know that he really hurts in his heart about not being there for his family. And I ask you to help him, dear Lord. Just encourage him. Let him, as best he can, take these principles we talked about today and just bring them to his family. Amen. In Christ's name, amen. 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 Come up here. Lynn, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Lynn. You got a family?
Yes, sir.
How many kids you got?
Three.
Three? How old are they?
18, 20, and 21.
All right, 18, 20, 21. So you still got a young one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Boys or girls?
Two boys, one girl.
How old is the girl?
18.
18. Oh, Lord, he needs prayer. Hallelujah. Father, I just pray for this young man. I've never laid eyes on him before that I know of, but he's here in church today, and I ask you to pour out your spirit upon him, to help him, Father, as he struggles with the situations of life. And, Lord, is to try to be the godly man that you'd want him to be. So, Father, I just pray for Lynn that today is a turning point in his life, that from this day forward, he'll think of himself differently and he'll act differently and raise up his kids, Lord, the way you'd have him to. And, Father, I just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for Kenny, Lord. Thank you for his family. Thank you for this big guy, Lord. He's a man's man. And, Lord, I know that he struggles, too, as some of these other guys do. But, Lord, I know that your hand is of mercy is upon him and upon Beverly's wife and his children. And, Lord, I believe for good things for them, that the things that they're learning and the things that they're discovering will make this family, Father, a great model Father's to try to copy. Father, keep him safe. Bless him as only you can. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I just pray for Don. Lord, I know he's struggling. A role he never thought he'd be in, Lord, taking care of his great-grandbabies, Lord. And I know this is a struggle for he and for his wife. And only you can intervene and help them, Father. Give them peace in that home, Father. Heal the wounds that are happening. And Father, let your spirit just be upon Don. Yes. Lord, he's just a great guy, Lord. I just love him. And I know that the way I love him is nothing compared to the way you love him. And I just believe you, Father, for good days ahead. Just good days ahead for this girl family. Father, let it be so. In Jesus' name. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for my brother George, Lord. He's been here for a lot of years. We've been a lot of years together. Father, I thank you for him. I thank you for his quick wit. I thank you for his dedication to his wife and his family. Thank you for being that he's there for his in-laws, Lord. He's dependable. And, Lord, I ask you to teach him new things, Lord, as he sharpens his skills he'll learn things about himself and his wife and his family that he never dreamed possible. And it'll have the powers of persuasion as a man of God to help his family. Father, I believe you for that. I believe you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for Dennis, Lord. All the years that I've known him, a godly man. Lord, I know that he struggles with the situation with his son Joey, Lord. I know we've got some good reports lately. I ask you to help that situation. And Father, with his daughter Erica, Lord, I ask you to to help that situation to be restored. And Father, I thank you that he's able to daily be with Rachel, Lord. And I know that he's doing his best he can for all three of his kids. And I thank you for that. And I thank you for his wonderful wife. And I ask you to help him to be the husband and the daddy that you always wanted him to be. And to use him, Father, to help others to understand what it is to be a godly man. And I thank you for him in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I know your name's not Chase Piazza. His kids, his son put his name on him. Hallelujah. Father, he's got a house full of kids, Lord. And I just thank you for Mike. Lord, I know that he serves you with all of his fiber and all of his being. And Lord, he wants to be exactly what you want him to be, nothing more, nothing less, Lord. And I ask you to help him, Father, as he and Gina, heart and heart and spirit together, as husband and wife, raise their children. Father, continue to use him. You've already used him in a great way. I ask you to continue to use him. And Father, raise him up, Father.
Yes.
Just raise him to higher planes and put them in positions where they can share the very truths that you've poured into their lives. And I thank you for it, Father, in Christ's name.
Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you for Greg, Lord Jesus. And Lord, as he's making plans and thinking about marriage and taking on kids, I just pray for him, Father, for divine wisdom. Lord, that he would know what it is that you would have him to do, not what he would think about what he should do, but what you'd have him to do with his life. Lord, I just pray your blessings upon him, that your wisdom would be upon him, be upon his life. In Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you,
amen. Amen. Nathan, good to see you, buddy. How many kids you got?
Three.
Three? Wow. Boys, girls?
All boys.
All boys. All right. How old are they? I'll put you on the spot. Just get close.
17, 30, 28.
Yeah, that's close enough. That's good. That's in guy talk. I understand. How old is the 17-year-old? It's a boy, right? Yeah. Okay. Father, I just pray for you. Nathan, Lord, I thank you for him, Lord. It's kind of a new relationship that's being built here with me and here at New Beginnings. And Lord, I just pray that if there's anything that needs to be fixed up, Lord, maybe his mistakes he's made in the past, that you'd give him wisdom to be able to do that and to rectify anything that needs to be rectified. And Father, I ask you to let him know your word, let it just burn deep within his heart, and let him be able to take the word of God and the principles of a godly man and just bring that to his family. Father, especially his 17-year-old, he needs somebody strong to help him to know the truth and know the way to walk. So just bless him, Father, as only you can. In Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, that's my buddy. Well, I've been knowing him almost as long as I've been knowing myself, it seems. I thank you for Don, Lord Jesus. He's a great guy. He loves his family dearly. He invests his life in his wife and his children, Lord Jesus. He's made them a priority in his life, and he's been a model already. I thank you for him. I ask you to bless him, Lord. He labors hard for his family. But he labors in the spirit realm for his family too. And I ask you to help him to even rise to greater heights for his wife, Bobby, for his children. I thank you for him, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hello, Leroy. Step over this way because that speaker wants to pick this mic up. Father, I thank you for Leroy. Lord, ever since the first day I've seen this guy, Lord, I've just known he's a special man. And Lord, I know that he loves his wife and his children. And Lord, I know like all men, he struggles in the things that he should do and shouldn't do and the priorities of life. And I just pray, Father, that the Holy Ghost that's within him would just fill him with wisdom beyond measure. James wrote, he said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask it of God against all men liberally. And doesn't upbraid or he doesn't criticize because he asks. I just pray for wisdom to be in Lee's heart and in his mind as he leads his family. I thank you for him, Father, in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Come here, Michael. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, thank you for Mike. Oh, man. What a great guy you put in my life and life of this church. He's a busy bee. And what a his busyness, Lord Jesus, is good busyness for the kingdom. I thank you, Lord, that he loves his wife, Denise, so much. He really has followed that admonition that he loves his wife and he gives his life for her. And I ask you to help him, Lord Jesus, as he has the role of a husband and dad and granddaddy and all the kids that are around him, that he would be the kind of image that people would look to in his family and say, gee, I'd like to be like Mike. He's the right kind of guy. And Father, use him for your glory. In Christ's name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Let me pray for you, Brother Wayne. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for Wayne Pontier. Lord, what a privilege it is to lay hands on a minister, Lord, a guy called by God to minister. And Father, I know he and Joanne go through so many struggles. It seems like it's one calamity after another seems to be hitting his family. But Father, I declare over this man of God good things. Father, that he'll have favor beyond measure with you and with others, Lord, and with his family. And that he'll be able to stand up and be strong, that others could lean upon him and draw strength. But Father, that he would lean upon you more than any other time in his life and receive the strength that only you could give him. Father, use him for your glory. Father, I know that's his heart's desire, just to be used by you. And Lord, it came to my mind that you'd begin to open doors again for his health, that he could go back to the nations, Lord. That you'd open those doors, that he could go forth where you've called him to go. In Christ's name, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody pray for me.
All right.
You guys pray for me. Come on around, guys, and lay hands on me.
Lord Jesus, we just thank you so very much for this man that you sent to us to be the pastor of this church. You are our Father, and you sent him as your representative, as our Father here on earth of this church, Lord. We know he's a wonderful Father, and he loves his wife and his family. And he loves his family, the church, too,
yes,
Lord.
Yes,
thank you for that.
Yes.
We just ask you to just pour blessings down on him, with blessings of health and finances and family.
Yes, yes,
and we just ask that you just grant his wish that he becomes the grandfather that he wants to be,
too, Lord. I agree, Lord.
We thank you for that.
Yes,
we just ask you just be in his life and just fill him full, Lord.
Yes.
Fill him full that he can fill others full, Lord.
Yes,
we thank
Lord.
You for that. We ask these things in your precious name, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right, guys, I got a present for you. Rick, go help my wife. She needs some help. It's going to take a man to carry this stuff out.
All right.
All right. Now, I don't want any laughter. This is not about laughter, all right? Blueberries. Organic blueberries, all right? These are, I almost picked them myself. You know how to open that case up? All right. All right. These are plump, luscious blueberries. You can put them on ice cream. You can put them on your cereal. You can just put them on your plate. There you go. There you go. I want you to enjoy these. These are good. Look at that look. I knew I'd get some looks.
Thank you, a man's heart.
I told you it was going to be scary.
You knew it would be scary. Now, when you have blue teeth from eating these, it's all right. Just brush your teeth later. You will enjoy these.
Eat them at home.
All right. Here you go. Okay. Okay. Did I get everybody?
Brother Rick.
And Brother Rick. Okay. That's it. The women didn't appreciate that, though?
Yeah, the women appreciated it.
You love blueberries. You have to be real nice to your husbands to get any of those blueberries. You are dismissed in the name of the Lord. God bless you.